5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Press for today. We're kicking off the week with the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. We have the Ras Al Khaimah, I'm saying that wrong, probably, championship in the UAE. And we do have the Saudi International this week as well on the Asian Tour, which is effectively a live event, but technically not. So we've got three tournaments this week to think about, potentially talk about, and hopefully you had a great weekend at Torrey Pines, things finishing Saturday. I was down in Orlando for the PGA Merchandise Show, so hopefully you got to listen to the Monday show and got to take a look at my early clicks for the week, which included the ultimate winner, which was Max Homa at, 25-1. So congratulations to anybody that wound up taking him. I'm sure a lot of people wound up cashing out on him early in the week, thinking it was just going to be a dud ticket, and then you wanted to try to get some of your money back and maybe push it towards Sam Ryder if you get him at a good price, or maybe John Rahm if you thought, you know, got through round two, maybe he could do something. And, yeah, if you had Max Homa, you've done it again. I mean, the guy has been on an incredible tear going back to the beginning of the 2021 PGA Tour season, or the beginning of the 22 season, but in the fall of 21. So basically in the last 2 years, Max Homa's won four times. And I really didn't expect him to win this tournament, because I don't know, it's just one of those courses that just doesn't seem to line up well for him. But what I really liked, and here's something to keep in your back pocket, which is why I mentioned this, at the end of the tournament, talked about winning, and he talked about the importance of knowing how you get punished by a golf course. And he realized that it doesn't really matter where you hit the ball. If you hit it offline, you're going to make bogeys and doubles potentially during the tournament, because every miss is punished almost equally. But if you can keep the ball in play, you give yourself a chance. And that's what he did. Kept the ball in play, gave himself a chance, and just let everyone else mess up. So thinking forward for Max, or any player, you got to know that they know how to play a golf course. He knows how to play Torrey South. He knows what it takes. So I think that goes a long way in trying to find winners week to week, is knowing the players who are advanced enough as professional golfers to understand what they got to do to win a golf tournament. And even if they're not winning, at least they know what they're doing. I think Taylor Montgomery is one of those guys. I also think he's learning as he goes how to win a golf tournament. He hasn't done it yet, but he's learning as he goes. So you got to think about those guys. Take in what they say. It's not all statistics. I mean, we do a lot of that on the show, of course. And we look at numbers and we look at probabilities. But those things are nuggets, and those are things we can't quantify. There's so much about golf you can't quantify, and it's really hard to bet this sport because you can't always just have a crystal clear picture of what's going to happen. And I personally think golf is one of the most difficult sports to bet. That's why you get the odds that you get. You get the number of players in a field. You get all the stuff you can't quantify, all of the stuff you can't account for, weather, green speeds, tee times, wind. I mean, there's just so much that you can't account for. And then you just get into the mental stuff that evolves over time. And some guys do, some guys don't. Some guys go forward, some guys regress. It is extremely difficult. So if you have Max Homa, it wasn't that obvious in retrospect, but it was kind of obvious. So I said last year, if you see Max Homa anywhere over 40-1, you bet him just out of respect, maybe excluding the major championships because he hasn't done anything of note there yet. Might be 30-1 now. If it's 30-1 or more, you bet Max Homa. I don't care where it is. Just bet them, because you're probably going to wind up coming out ahead in the long haul if you took that strategy. All right, let's move to Pebble Beach this week. We have a three-course rotation, right? This is a tournament with a 54-hole cut. It's hosted by Pebble Beach Golf Links. We have really the shortest courses on the PGA Tour this week. These are all short courses. They are all par 72. This is not that difficult of a week scoring-wise from tee to green. The putting is the challenge of these golf courses. Because you have Poa Annua surfaces, they are very difficult to read. They are very difficult to gauge speed. They are bumpy. They get bumpier as the day goes. There's a lot of traffic on these greens because you have 156 players and 156 amateurs going through these courses each day. And it's really tricky to figure this place out. And if you can embrace what this tournament is and what this tournament isn't as a player, then you give yourself the best chance to win. Jordan Spieth is top of the table this week, 8.5-1. I've seen him 9-1 in other places. He's probably already been bet a couple times here. DraftKings is who I'm looking at. He's equal with Matt Fitzpatrick, who is also 9-1. Fitzpatrick has not played much golf so far in 2023. He played the Century Tournament of Champions, had a good finish there, tied for seventh. So going back to the fall, good finishes, kind of got out of the funk after winning the U.S. Open. Just worth a look this week, but I feel like it's too short. And you're going to see a bunch of guys this week where you're like, they shouldn't be that number. But because there are only seven top 50 players in this field, you're not going to get as great a value on some of the players that you might like to look at. And we'll get to some of those examples. Victor Hovland is 10-1. I appreciate that he's playing this tournament. I'm not even going to look at him this week. I don't like his game for this course. I know that we are talking about a resort. I know we're talking about seaside. It's not tropical. Nothing against Victor Hovland, but these are really small greens with pretty nasty runoffs and where you land the ball if you miss. I'm just not. I don't see it. So I'm going to skip. Tom Hoagie, 18-1, a guy I absolutely love. And most weeks you would get him in the 30s. And you're not going to get him there this week. I'm probably going to bet Tom Hoagie, just to be honest. He's playing great, playing good golf. No reason to dislike him. Matt McNealy, also playing great golf, but he's 20-1 and hasn't won on the PGA Tour yet. That is hard for me to bet. If he were 25, 30, count me in. If you could find that number, and you won't, but if you could find that number, I would be all over it. Seamus Power, 22-1. Game travels everywhere. Good player. I just like his game. I like it for this particular situation. I will probably bet him. Andrew Putnam, 28-1, along with Justin Rose. Justin Rose is actually playing pretty well lately. Kind of on the come. Worth a look, I will say. Andrew Putnam's going to get a lot of love this week at 28-1. Denny McCarthy and Matt Kuchar are 35-1. Denny is just not that good of a driver of the golf ball. I think he's going to find himself in some trouble this week. But if he doesn't drive the ball poorly, he can win this golf tournament because he's that good of a putter. He handles weird surfaces well. He knows our greens here at Argyle, which are not Poa, but they do get some Poa in them. He knows this region, knows how to putt those surfaces. I think he could do well. Keith Mitchell is 40-1, along with a guy I am going to bet, Joel Damon, at 40-1. I would have loved to have seen Damon at a deeper number. I would have taken him with a lot of money, really, relative to his odds last week at Torrey. I love the way that he is playing, but he withdrew from that tournament, and now he's in a weaker field at 40-1. Still going to bet him. Taylor Pendrith, 45-1. Pass. Thomas Dietrich, 50-1. Has my attention. Scott Stallings, Alex Smalley, 55. A couple intriguing numbers here. Nick Taylor, Davis Riley, Taylor Moore, David Lipsky, and Dean Burmester, all 60-1. I could see David Lipsky winning this tournament. I could see Dean Burmester winning this tournament. Ben Griffin, 65-1, is going to get a lot of bets this week relative to his number. Trey Mullinax is also 65. Robbie Shelton's playing pretty good golf, 65. Lanto Griffin, trying to get back from just being hurt, 70-1. Played pretty well last week at Torrey, a place he likes. I think that's a good indication that maybe he's starting to kind of make his way back, but you cannot bet him to win. Brendan Todd is 70-1, along with Nick Hardy, Ryan Palmer, Kurt Kitayama, a guy I love betting. Kevin Kisner, 70-1. And then some 75s couple for you. Will Gordon, who's going to get some love, and Eric Van Rooyen. And then I'll give you the 80s because a couple guys I like her in here. S.H. Kim, Matthew Neesmith, Russell Knox, and Bo Hostler. And I want to give you a couple of longer guys that I think are worth a look if you're willing to kind of take a chance this week. Ben On, 90-1, looking at him. Ben Taylor, 110-1, absolutely looking at him. And Matty Schmid really interests me at 130-1. And then Mark Hubbard, 150-1, could be a shot worth taking. He seems to like this place. He got engaged at Pebble Beach. Again, one of those things you can't quantify, but hey, if it makes you feel good every time you come there, why wouldn't you play well there? Aaron Baddeley could also be interesting. Not a good fit, I don't think, for Torrey, but he is a good fit here for these shorter courses and a guy who's got some good experience. And then that's probably where I'm going to stop things. If you wanted to get really funky, maybe you get down with Luke Donald at 200-1. That's not the craziest thing I've heard of. Played pretty well in Abu Dhabi for a little while. And, 250-1, not 200-1. 250-1 would be an interesting look. And then beyond that, you're in the reach territory. I know there are going to be some people that tout out 400 and 500-1s this week. It's just not the way it's going, guys. It's just not the way that it is. So I don't think you should entertain that too much. Again, as we've talked about with these multi-course events, and this is our last one for a while, this event is going to have some dynamic live odds opportunities. You need to know which of the three courses are the easiest and the hardest. You're going to make your best hay at Monterey Peninsula Shore. That's technically the easiest course. We've seen 61s and 60s there. I would argue Pebble Beach is the second easiest. And Spyglass is the hardest, but your mileage may vary. But you got to know that about the rotation that's coming out on Tuesday. And like I said, I think it also matters the partner that some of these guys have, because they are playing a pro-am and they all know it. And they know the rounds are going to be 5.5 and 6 hours over the first 3 days. And they know it's going to be just kind of difficult golf to play from a tournament perspective. So you've got to be all in on yucking it up and having fun and being willing to take your time and not taking it so seriously, but taking it seriously and not getting riled up by just all the noise that goes on around you over the course of those 3 days. Get to Pebble Beach, top 60 in ties due through 54 holes, and then get in the shootout and just try to do something at Pebble Beach. That is how this tournament works. And in a nutshell, I think you're probably not going to see anyone longer than 50-1 win this, but you could. And I'm going to take a couple of shots requisite with that thinking about it. Max Homa was, I believe, ninth in our model last week. So again, really good run for the model, where we've had players inside the top 14 pretty much every week since June, except the Sony Open. And that's because Siwoo Kim just isn't that kind of guy. He just doesn't play consistent golf. He plays two really great tournaments and then 10 stinkers, you know, that kind of thing. So our model rewards some consistency over time. That's why Max Homa is up there. He's become a consistent player. He is a guy you have to look at when he plays. Tournament props are out there. Golfer props are out there. Obviously, we don't have tee times yet. And if you do want to look at winning margin for the week, again, we talked about this last week with the Farmers Insurance Open, that if you look at the history of that tournament and you kind of see what we've got, and we update the tournament history each week after it's done, you had a lot of variability in who those numbers. You had two playoffs in the last 5 years. You had a 1 and a 2 and a 5, and Reed's 5-shot win was just kind of weird, but we got a 2. And it's hard to kind of bet that prop accurately, I think, if you don't feel like you've got a good handle on a history, basically, of close tournaments, like we had with Amex, where you're like, it's going to be one or a playoff. Like, it's almost certainly going to be one or a playoff. If you look at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and you look over the last 5 years, it really, and go back to 6, it's not that close. It's typically a 2 or 3-shot win, sometimes a 4-shot win. Well, if you look this week, you're actually getting really good numbers on 4, 2, and 3. I would bet them all, +350 on 4 and 2, and +600 on a 3. worth a look. I mean, it's worth a look. It really is. You could obviously get a one or a playoff. We haven't seen that much in tournament history recently. You get a 4-2 or a 3. So I think you're getting a good number if you like to try to take a stab at that prop each week. Put a whatever unit you want to put for this bet on it. You're probably, I mean, you got a good chance of getting there. You're buying up basically worse than a stroke. And the recent distribution of outcomes of this tournament, and you go back to even 2011, 2, 2, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4, 3, 3, 4, 2, 2, only 2-1s in there, no playoffs at all. That is something you may want to hammer the heck out of this week. In fact, I might do it myself now that I'm convincing myself into it. Playoff specials, will there be a playoff? Yes, no, just if you want to do that, why would you even bother? Yes is plus 300, same wager as the tournament winning margin, minus 400 for no. Just get down with 4, 2, and 3, and just hope there's not a playoff or a one stroke. Golfer props, wire-to-wire winners are up on DraftKings. We're going to get some more stuff later today. On the European Tour, I want to get to that briefly. Rory McIlroy won in the Monday finish. He beat Patrick Reed. Very happy that that happened. That would have been insufferable if Reed had won. But we move elsewhere in the UAE this week, starting Thursday. Ras Al Khaimah is a championship. It's the second year for the event. Third tournament, though, played at this venue. Remember, in the COVID era, I think they played two versions of this tournament there in back-to-back weeks when they were trying to sustain a schedule. So Højgaard is where you want to be. The Højgaard boys like this golf course. Only a couple of top 50 players in the field this week, Ryan Fox and Adrian Meronk. And then Victor Perez is actually the outright board leader, 18-1. Ryan Fox, 20 with Rasmus Højgaard and Adrian Meronk. Nikolaj Højgaard is 22-1. I'm just going to throw this out there because I think it's a ticket maybe worth having just for the sake of it. But Patrick Harrington is 35-1. You've got my attention at that number because he's playing well and this isn't that long of a golf course and he drives it well. So I firmly believe this is a driver's golf course and that's just tricky enough to be interesting. And I will point out a couple of folks who played well at Emirates Golf Club over the weekend. Callum Shinquin, who finished solo fourth, is 40-1. I like his general trend line, and he could really interest me this week. And then the other guy that's going to interest me is Dan Bradbury, who's already won the season, was a shock winner, played well in Dubai. He's not going to be consistent from week to week, I don't think yet, but in a tournament like this with a weaker field, 60-1 seems poorly priced compared to the relative competition that he has to beat to win it. So I could be interested in that number as well. Tournament props, winning margin, all that stuff. I'm going to stay away from that. I just don't feel confident enough knowing Alhambra Golf Club to be able to say that one way or another. And then the props are up wire to wire, lead after round one and win, you know, all that type of stuff. That's just hard for me to get behind on the DP World Tour. You can get a lot of variability from week to week, and one guy goes from being 60-1 to being the favorite the next week because it's just such a hard market to price. I'm just not ever interested in anything like that. There's nothing out there, by the way, that I've seen yet for the Saudi International. I don't even know if they're going to take that kind of action. They might get blowback for it. I haven't seen odds posted anywhere for it. It is effectively a live event. It's a 126-player field, $5 million purse, lots of appearance money being paid to players to show up, but mostly it's live players plus some Asian Tour players plus, I don't know, a dozen kind of people who play on the PGA Tour, Korn Ferry Tour, DP World Tour that are probably getting paid a nice little appearance fee to show up and play in front of 60 people at Royal Greens. But again, I don't really feel comfortable, even if that came up, taking a look at the odds and betting that market. It's just, I don't know, that all the live guys haven't really played since October, except the ones that have played on the DP World Tour. I don't really know what we're getting here. So I would probably resoundingly stay away from that, but hey, your mileage may vary, of course. Want to wrap up real quick. Just look at some Masters odds here. We haven't looked at it since the calendar turned to 23. I think you want to start thinking about this a little bit because these numbers are going to start changing more radically as we get through February and March. We see more of these guys playing more frequently. Rory McIlroy 7.5 to 1. John Rahm is 8 to 1. Of course, you can see both those guys winning the tournament. You're not going to do a whole lot better than that, probably, unless they just stink. So just, if you want the ticket, get the ticket now. Don't wait. It could get shorter. I think it could get short as 6, depending on how well they play. They're clearly the two best players in the world right now. It can't get longer, I don't think, unless someone like Scottie Scheffler comes along or someone does a Scheffler and just runs the table for a month and a half, and then maybe you see better prices. It's probably not going to get better. You see that, get into it. Colin Morikawa is 16 to 1, and I know he's not a good putter, but he's shown flashes of improved putting, and I know he did it for 3 rounds and then fell apart at Kapalua. Looked pretty good at Torrey, I think, all things considered. At 16 to 1, that is an interesting number to me for him to win a third major title and get 3 legs of the career Grand Slam under his belt. And then kind of start digging a little bit deeper. Tony Finau could interest me at 25 to 1. I know he's never won a major championship, but I feel like that's a step he could take this year. You're starting to get Tom Kim at some better numbers just because he's trailed off just a touch. So you get him at 35 to 1. Again, he's not going to win. I would look at him for the PGA Championship, not for the Masters Tournament, but you know, your mileage may vary. Shane Lowry at 40 to 1 intrigues me quite a bit. Again, we're going to look at the key number for this tournament of being the player in 2023 that gains an average of 1.5 strokes on the field. That's kind of the dead giveaway, and that'll tell you all the players who can win. But you have to make some choices ahead of time, and that might be one of them that you could get behind. And then after that, nothing really compelling to me, at least. I could be interested in Jason Day at 65 to 1. He's had some close calls here. He's playing good golf. 7th place last week. I could get behind a 65 to 1 ticket on him. Ricky Fowler fell apart a little bit on Sunday, but is playing better. I'm not expecting him to win a major. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Just something to think about if you have some kind of weird inkling that he's going to have a green jacket. And get in the field, by the way. If you have some kind of inkling about that at 80 to 1, not any deeper than that. But hey, that's just something to make you think, I guess. And then beyond that, Seamus Power at 130 to 1. Really intrigues me because his game travels everywhere so well. He's not superior, but he's definitely not inferior. He's just a B plus player that you can really like. And 130 to 1 is too long, I think, for that guy. That's just me. And Lucas Herbert really has not shown anything in major championships. Did very well in Dubai last week, or this finished yesterday or today. 150 to 1, almost intriguing enough. And so is Francesco Molinari at 150 to 1. Almost intriguing enough to just have $5 on him, $10 on him. If something crazy happens, it'd be great. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We appreciate it. We'll come back with our model show for tomorrow, and we'll go over our first round leader model, and we'll go over our tournament model, knowing that we've got some difficult choices on the first round leader market because you're going to have 3 courses to pick from and saturated odds because of those things. And also we have some saturated odds this week just because of the field that we have in front of us for this week. But I'm going to try and sort it all out for you. Please consider subscribing to Golf News Net. For $50 a year, you can become a member. We are rapidly expanding our tools, and there is an outside chance we actually do another price increase because of how much we're going to be putting into the marketplace in terms of just good, solid tools to work with every single week. A lot of them are going to be free, by the way. We're going to have a bunch of free stuff available, too. If you're willing to support us by being a member, hey, that's awesome, but not required at all. Thank you so much for listening to The Press. We will talk to you next time.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. all the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.